Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Oftentimes I think, well, it'll be a dreadfully sad business for any soul to leave this world and step out into eternity and to recognize that I'm on the wrong side and I'm lost forever. That'll be dreadful. But for a person who has spent their lives sincerely being led to believe that they're bound for heaven, and to suddenly discover I'm on the wrong road, I have built on a wrong foundation, and I'm lost, and lost forever. My friend Anita in the meeting, what do you build on for eternity? The wisdom of a sure foundation. Thank God the Word of God describes for us the solid foundation that you can build upon for eternity, and be absolutely sure about it. That was one of the real reasons why, in fact, the major reason why the Lord Jesus ever came into this world at all. You know, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 that if righteousness was by the law, or could be attained by the law, then Christ's death was needless. If you could attain to a place in God's heaven by any effort of your own, or any good living of your own, or any religious ordinances of your own, there was no need for the death of Christ at all. But my friend tonight, listen, the reason why that God's Son left the glory of heaven and came down into this world was because there was no other way that you and I would ever find a place in God's heaven. But thank God he has come. And he has gone out to Calvary's cross. And upon that cross at Calvary, God's eternal Son gave his own life as a sacrifice for sin. The Bible tells us emphatically, and yet in such plain language, that Christ died for our sins, that Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ died for us. You know that lovely little section at the beginning of Romans chapter 5? There are three statements there that indicate clearly to us what we were. That is, without salvation. We were without strength. We were yet sinners. We were enemies in our minds by wicked works. We were without strength. We were sinners. We were enemies. What we were. But over against every one of them is this beautiful reference to what Christ has done. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The death of Christ upon the cross, the wonder of his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection from among the dead, is the solid foundation upon which you and I can build for eternity. You come to Romans chapter 3, that great passage that outlines for us so clearly the reasons why we could never attain to the righteousness of God in our own effort. And the apostle comes down to verse number 19 and he says, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. But today in the next verse, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And when you come to the end of verse 20, you begin to think to yourself that here I am, guilty before God, no possibility of justification by any efforts of my own. I stand absolutely helpless and hopeless in the sight of God. What can I do? The next verse says, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Says Paul, in effect, what you could never attend to by your own works or by any works of the law, you can have through faith in Christ. And you might stop and ask yourself the question, how can that ever be? Well, says Paul, I'll tell you more or less. He says it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood. That big word propitiation, it's one of the few bigger words associated with a gospel message. The gospel is a very, very simple, plain message. But it's one of the bigger words. And really what it means is what it takes to satisfy God in the business of dealing with my sin. You could stand in the presence of God, so to speak. You could offer all the prayers that ever you like. Will that satisfy God? No, he'll find no satisfaction in that. You can do all the good deeds you have. No satisfaction in that. No matter what you try to do or how much you try to do, God is not satisfied. He will not accept anything of that. But satisfaction he will find in what Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. Through faith in his blood. It is the greatest message that has ever fallen on human ears, no matter where men are found. That sinner though I am, condemned though I am in the sight of God, deserving of the judgment of God though I am, that Christ's death upon that cross at Calvary, the whole concept of his death, burial and resurrection, has totally satisfied God in the matter of my sin. And God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You listen to the language of the Lord Jesus himself. John 5, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. There's one in the meeting here tonight, and you would like a firm foundation to place your feet on in light of eternity, to be absolutely sure that when this life ends, even though it ended very, very abruptly, that you would step out of time and into the realms of glory, that you would never be in the judgment of God. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus. He that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment. I feel like saying that'll do for me. I was saved a long, long time ago. Almost 65 years ago. But the night before I was saved, I stood in a gospel tent and they sang a very solemn hymn at the end of the meeting. And it asked the question, have you thought of the great judgment day, sinner, of one who will sit on the throne, from whose face heaven and earth flee away, sinner, and you stand before him alone? I went home deeply disturbed that night. Really wanted to be saved. The next morning, I'm pondering over the whole matter again. And I'm reading Isaiah chapter 53. Came down to verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I remember well stopping and reading that verse over again and thinking a little bit more closely about it. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's just true of all humanity. We have turned every one to his own way. Yes, that's true of me too. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. To my young heart that morning, on the first day of July 1950, I remember well thinking, that'll do for me. That'll do. I didn't know the hymn at the time, but if I had known it, I could well have sung it. That soon as my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Let me ask you again, as we come near the close of the meeting, what do you build on for eternity? No wonder the hymn writer wrote that lovely old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. a solid foundation for eternity.